Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Easter to y'all and happy Saturday night to all y'all here. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Myra, a.k.a. Chica. Happy Easter to y'all. Happy, like I said, you know, tomorrow's Easter and, you know, people celebrate Easter, you know, Saturday and Sunday. It's like Christmas, you know, like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Who knows? Anywho, this show is brought to you part by Let's Talk and Pray. If you need coaching and spiritual advice, please contact Sister MVP. And the webpage is www.letstalkandpray.com. Well, today I'm just waiting for my co-hosts to be here, but any time now. But, you know, right now, you know, with, you know, things coming up and people are, like, sick and all this stuff. So right now, you know, I'm going to see if I can, you know, leave a little bit early today because, you know, I got, you know, a little one here. So if you hear some little noise. And we have a caller ending 111, 111, and 111. And Miss 111, welcome to my show. Well, good evening.
Good evening, Sister Myra. This is Sister Marilyn. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just did your little advertisement here on Let's Talk and Pray. But, we, you know, before we go on there, I will tell you that in the end. So, how you been doing, Sister MVP?
I am trying to get myself well.
And you know, even though this is the time, you know, this is that time of the year, you know, weather changing, springtime is here, and, you know, people get used to the winter time, and all of a sudden everybody's getting sick, and, oh, dear Lord, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. It's just been little simple ordeals, but, you know, enough to aggravate you a teeny little bit. Enough for me to sit down and say, okay, you got to take care of yourself now. You got to slow down and get your body well so you can be able to focus because summer is here and things need to get rolling for the summer. So I just slowed it down a little bit and quit jumping all over the place like a frog.
No, no.
Take care of me for a whole minute.
Yes.
How's things been going on your end?
Well, right now I got my little one here, and it's a long story. It's about that, so, I mean, I want to go out, you know, in public and tell you what happened, but, you know, we have a little issue going on, so, I mean, I'm not going to discuss this on live radio.
So. But you worked it out, though, right? You know how you
you know they say, kids or no kids, take one day at a time, I want to still have the show go on, you know?
That's right.
And,
that's exactly right.
Yes.
What are your topics going to be about tonight?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. Well, my topic right now is say what you want to say. You know, about this week. As you know,
say what you want to say about this week.
Yes, because as you know, this week we have some attacks in Belgium. Have you ever heard the news about that? It was just a pretty sad, you know, incident that happened, you know, with the with, you know, people in Belgium and the attack. And right now, you know, with the Anonymous, according to the news, they say that the Anonymous were so, you know, angry or, I don't know, it's just a craziness. What they're trying to do is, like, you know, when they're trying to attack people, you know, like, oh, so you want to attack, you know, one person. I mean, that's showing negativity right there. That's my thing. You know, why you want to be, you know, trying to be the hero, but even though you're trying to make everything negative to it, and, I mean, it's not good at all, period. I mean...
No. And think about it, Myra. So many people is being hurt behind all of this. I mean, you got people that lost their family, their loved ones,
exactly.
You know, husband and wife and children and all this type of thing. So, I mean, it affects a lot. I mean, it's deeper than we realize because a lot of people holler, oh, they killed these people. Yes, they killed a family. They stopped the lifeline. They cut it all off. Because when you die, there is no more lifeline unless you already, you know, had a family before you killed them. And then they turn around and they hurt. Not only do they hurt themselves, they hurt other people too. So it affects it all the way around, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I agree with you. I mean, it's like you got to teach your kids, you got to teach everybody out there, you know, especially like, you know, as like pastors and priests and deacons out there, you know, in religion in general, you know, they teach them love, you know. And, you know, like they say, like Muslim people and Islamic people, you know, they sharing love. And they don't understand that about that, you know? I mean, love is a strong feeling in the general, you know? I mean, I love my kids. I love my mom. I love my dad, you know? Because why? Because, you know, God teaching us in general, you know, who you love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, with a bunch of hatred, you know, that what's going on, you know, it's like people who are involved in domestic violence. Okay, let me say that for example, you know, because, you know, as like, you know, a woman who was involved with domestic violence with a significant other, you know, even though that significant other has kids with you, you know, you gotta forgive them, but you can't love them back. You know, it's not the same as what it is. You know, when they say forget and forget, but you just can't, you know, you don't want to go back. You know, because why? You don't want to go back to a cycle again.
Lord, you know, because a lot of people get a divorce, right? And they have to be very, very careful because if they haven't finished up all their, I'm just going to use the word karma or learning experiences with their first marriage or second marriage or whatever, they repeat the cycle over and over again. They end up, oh man, I just married somebody that acts like the one I just got rid of. Well, that person's acting like the person I just got rid of. That's because you hadn't learned your lesson. And they teach you, you're going to learn. That lesson piles up on top of another lesson and another one. It just gets outrageous, you know? So, yeah, you're yourself on, you know, who you who you pair your life up with, because it can get really ridiculous and everything, you know. So let's talk about what's a good time for a teenager to start dating. Somebody lay that on me today.
Definitely.
I thought I'd lay it on you.
Definitely. That's a good time. Well, in my right now as
a good
first
age,
time
brother.
Mom, well, as of well for my point as a first time mom, and depending like my, you know, like right now my oldest son, he's gonna be 8 and he's gonna be a teenager anytime soon. You know, he ain't gonna be a baby no more, but you know, it's going to be a point that if he wants to date, the first thing I'm going to teach them, actually my both boys, when they get to teenage years, I'm going to teach them how to treat a woman with respect, you know, and how to love them, how, you know, I don't want them to be what, you know, what we went through, you know. But, you know, I just don't want them, you know, follow their, you know, parents' shoes. But the best age for me is to talk to them first is around 11 or 12. As we'll get to that changing, you know, like, the, you know how, like, when, you know, we girls, you know, we change our bodies and we have our bodies changing and everything. Well, we could talk to them around 10 or 11 and see if they're interested, you know. If they want to wait, that's their decision. You see?
Okay, now, so you said 11 or 12. What about if they're around adults that are open and, you know, they just feel their child should start hearing about life at the age of, let's say, 8 years old, 7 and 8 years old. Is that appropriate?
That's,
how far should they take that, you know?
Well,
at this day and age,
that's a good question. I mean, you got a great point right there, Sister MVP. Right now, I think age 8 is the best way to talk to them. If
so would it be for a girl or a boy or both?
I would say for a girl be a good way to age at 8 because they could prepare themselves when their times, you know, when their body's changing and everything, so they can be ready because sometimes they start their cycle a little bit early, you know. Maybe around 9 or 10 years old, and I mean, that's like, wow, that's kind of like, you know, because it does happen a lot. I mean, there's a lot of girls, they start their cycle at age of 10.
I know a little girl had one. A little girl, these is two sisters. I used to really feel sorry for their mom. One was 8 and the other one was 9, and they had their cycle. And poor things was having the monthly cramps, and it was like little ladies, you know, but they were children. Mm-hmm. And when the mother told me about what happened, it ran in the family, so it was a gene thing, you know. But I think, and it's just my opinion, okay, I think you should set your children down and start talking to them as early as they understand, as they're understanding a little bit about life. A little bit at a time. I don't think it should take them too fast. I don't think it should put them in an adult spot too quickly. I think they should let them be a child for as long as they possibly can, but at the same time, tell them, you know, some things to watch for. And I like the point when you said that, you know, start teaching your boys how to treat a girl. Now, I have a little nephew. He is, he's 5 years old, and he just tickles the heck out of me. Whenever I call him, I say, Brayden, what's going on? Oh, let me tell you about my girlfriend. I said, you what? He says, my girlfriend. I said, no. She's your friend. He said, oh, no. She's my girlfriend, and she's smart. And she's pretty. And I, you know, so one day I was talking to him, and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to listen to what Brayden is saying. I'm going to pay a little bit more attention because the kid is telling me something, and I'm thinking, he don't know what he's talking about. So I told my brother, I said, "Where Braden?" He says, "Right here." He said, "Your aunt from Texas is on the phone." So he gets on the phone, he starts talking. "You want to hear about my girlfriend?" I said, "Your girlfriend? Sure." He told me her name. He told me how old she was. And she helps and does his homework at school. And I said, "She pretty?" He said, "Oh, yeah." "And she loves me." I said, "Oh, Lord, you don't know what, you're 5 years old, you don't know what love is." He said, "I do, too." I said, "Okay, what is love?" "Love means somebody likes you. They like you a lot." Okie dokie. So the kid had, I got to give him a little credit. He said, "It means they love you, it means they like you a lot." I said, "All right." So I said, "Do y'all talk?" He said, "Oh, every day." He said, "She helps me all the time, get my little homework." I said, "What are you learning?" "Whatever she teaches me." I said, "Okay." I said, "Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be her best friend." I said, "When you go to first grade, you're going to be her best friend. You're going to look out for her because she's your best friend right now. Just your best friend." He said, "No, she's my girlfriend." I couldn't get that out of his mind that she was his girlfriend. So I said to him, "Tell you what, I think best friends starts out being the best of friends, and maybe one day she could be your real girlfriend." He go like, "No, she's my real girlfriend right now." He said, "Because she loves me." I said, "Does she say she loves you?" He said, "Yeah." She says, "I love helping you. I love you. I love your hair and your eyes," because he got pretty hair, he got pretty eyes. I said, "Really?" He said, "That's what she says." I said, "So it gave you the big head, huh?" He said, "This made my heart go boop, boop, boop." But I had a laugh so darn hard. I said, "Put my brother back on the phone." I said, "Bobby," I said, "Braden is in love with this girl." He says, "Who you telling?" "He tells me about her every day." I said, "Have you met her?" He said, "Girl, one day I went to school to pick him up, and he says, 'Here comes this little girl.' 'Bye, Braden. See you tomorrow. Don't forget to do this.'" He said, "That's a smart little girl." He said, "She is really a nice little girl." He said, "And she goes home and tells her grandparents all about Braden." So he said, "They all got to, they had his birthday party and they invited." He said, "She was just as nice as she could be. She wasn't the, you know, the get out of the way kind, because she's a kid." I said, "Lord have mercy." So I said, "Well, now you got to start talking to him a little bit more about, you know, being nice and being kind and understanding and this type of thing. Because, you know, kids sometimes, another kid would take a hit a child sometime and pop them, you know. They're fighting in school and stuff." And I said, "Braden, don't let nobody be pushing her down the stairs or anything like that, or, you know, pushing her in the mud and dirt and stuff. Just kind of watch after her. When she's on the seesaw and all the little things they play at school, I said, just kind of watch after her like she watch after you, because she's your best friend." He said, I do. So this kid had a good sense of humor. That's why I decided to listen to what he was saying. And a lot of times we need to listen to our children. When they're trying to tell us something, we, you know, sometimes we think, "Now you're just a little too grown. You're just talking a little bit too much." But you need to pay a little bit more attention to what they're saying.
You know it, something, you know, sister?
Mm-hmm.
You know something? I mean, you are getting the right point. But my question is this. And this is a very important question, because this does it does happen a lot. I know in the news, and I know in talk shows, I've been seeing talk shows. What about teaching your kids about, how do I explain this? Teaching your kids about the no-no touch, you know?
I think you should teach them about the no-no touch. I really do.
And it's a good idea. It's a good idea to teach your kids, you know, it's like, "Baby, sweetie pie, sugar plums, you know, you know that, you know, sweetheart, you know," and you tell them, you know, about, you know, and explain to them, because I think my point of view, my best bet is by age of 5 or maybe a little younger, because, you know, you never know where your kid's going to be at. You know,
exactly.
If you take them to a daycare, you take them to a babysitter, or you take them to some relative that, you know, that you're supposed to trust, and then all of a sudden, you know, did something, you know, that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that you gotta, you know, teach your kids too about that. And according to the, you know, the pediatrician, you know, every time that my kids, you know, when they get their daily checkups, when they get their daily checkups, you know, like their shots and stuff, they always give me pamphlets about, you know, everything. About teaching your kids about the no-no touch, teaching kids about this. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that's going on, you know. They're teaching your kids everything, you know.
And you know what, Myra, I tell you something else. That's a good point that you brought up about the no-no touch, because if that child doesn't know and somebody touches them, and they get hurt in the process, you know, I might come up kidnap or kill, because that child can be able to identify, hey, this person touched me in the no-no spot. You know what I'm saying? And then they might, you know, get assaulted. Any little thing. So, yes, I think they should teach them as early as they understand about the no-no touch, because it's very, very important. You know how sometimes they lead you off, a bad person will lead that child to us, off to the side, here, has you some candy, or has a little puppy, or has a little animal, or stuffed animal, or a cat.
Oh, yeah. This is,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, they touch
some
strangers.
And to touch that child, yes, so they could get that child to trust them. And then they'd be touching the no-no, and that child be saying, no, my mama told me, no, 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 that's not appropriate. Well, they may not use the word appropriate. They'll probably say, my mother says, that's a no-no spot. And I think it should teach them as early as you possible can, so they will understand when someone comes and do the no-no thing, they'll know what it is. Now, I taught my niece and my son these two things. If somebody says something to you, you go tell the next-door neighbor. If it's a next-door neighbor, you tell the other next-door neighbor. If I'm at work, you go tell somebody. And before I get home, so they can watch after you and protect you. Hopefully, if an older person, a female, or older granddaddy, or uncle, who, you know, they sit around in the neighborhood and all they do is watch the kids when they get off the bus and this type of thing, you know. And I said, if someone comes up to you and try anything, you go tell it. But don't wait till I get home. You said you tell someone so they can be right on top of it. Because our neighbors, during the time when, you know, when I was young and everything, the neighbors have watched over you when you get off the bus. They go like, you better come here. Let me tell you, how was your day at school? They'd be at the bus stop. They'd be at the end of the road. They'd be waiting on you. How was things at school? Did anybody pick on you or anybody say anything to you? Are you okay? Okay, go home. Your mama will be home in a minute. If you need anything, you let me know. I'll be down there to see about you. They be stay on top of it. Nowadays, you can't trust anybody. Look what happened here was a couple of months ago. Man, no, let's say 6 weeks ago, they had it on the news. This man, these two little sisters was catching a bus, and they kept telling their dad. This man comes up there and stands at the bus stop. He ain't got no clothes on. He was naked. And they had it on the news. And finally, the dad went up one morning, and he saw him for himself. And I mean, I think he chased him or something. I don't know if he ran him down and caught him and gave him a good butt whooping or what, but you know, he turned it in because his daughters had been telling him, Dad, this man's been coming to the bus stop early in the morning. He's naked. And I'm going, how sick can you get early in the morning showing
you?
We
got a phone call. We got a call and end with 9173. Oh, I know what that is. Well, hello, Sister T.
What's up, my lovelies? How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. We're just continuing. We're talking about what Sister Marilyn was telling about the
no
you
nose.
Call it the no nose touching, teaching your kids, about, you know, touch, you know, the inappropriate touching and stuff like that.
Oh,
so, you know,
the no no squares, right?
Yeah, yeah. So she was talking about this dude about, continue on, Sister Marilyn. You were saying about this dude.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Amy.
So what I was telling her the story about this, these two girls, these two sisters was catching the bus. And I'm thinking it's been maybe 6 weeks ago. They had it on the news. And what happened was this man would go up to the bus stop and he would be naked. And these girls kept telling their dad, hey, this man comes into the bus stop. You know, with no clothes on. He's standing out there, and he let them see him naked, right? So then this one particular morning, the dad went up to the bus stop, and he saw the man for himself. He was naked, just like his two daughters had told him. And they had it on the news. So I was telling her, I said, you can't trust everybody now to go to the bus stop.
No, you,
don't know who's at the bus stop.
You know what? You're right. It is sad because I was informed less than 24 hours ago. A friend of mine, she worked with this gentleman in Corpus Christi, and he was arrested for molestation of his two daughters.
Ooh.
And so, therefore, being a survivor of molestation, whether you're a female or male, It literally messes with the child, the way they feel and think about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes them self-conscious about their body.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it comes from a father to a daughter, because as I know for me, when I was growing up, if I just got out the bath, you know, the bathtub, and Meyer could sit up and tell you, my room was right next to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just hurry up and dart right in, you know, to my room when I was a kid. And my daddy always told me, I'm a man, cover up. But you're my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man, cover up. And I remember one time I just got, I don't know if y'all, if your family done it, Myra, or Miss, you know, Aunt Marilyn. I'm sure your mama, when you was raised up, you did this too. Every spring, I got new clothes.
Right.
And I always got them around Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got an Easter basket, and I got a dress for church that following Sunday. You know. And the way I was raised, when you go into Easter, you get a new clothes, you get new underclothes, you get new socks. And I got the whole shebang, you know, from the slip to the undergarment, whatever, because you were going into spring anew. You don't take it from the past. You go in the new, which meant brand new PJs. Okay. And I was kind of proud of my PJs because it was a little baby doll set, and I was kind of happy. You know, and I went and showed my daddy, you know. And my daddy sat me down, and he goes, baby, I understand you keep saying I'm your daddy, but I'm a man. He goes, and not all men are your daddy. Not all men are going to have that responsibility to take care of you and protect you to make sure that nobody harms you.
Because
you didn't know if I didn't have another man up in here, you did not know that you was in the tub. You did not know any of this. So therefore, baby, when you leave your room, or when you leave your bathroom, cover up. Because I'm not saying I'm going to, but I'm just saying there are men out there who do these things. You know, and so therefore now it is, we think it's taboo where we don't speak of it. Because if we speak of it, then it happens. And then you got these religious set folks, and notice I said religious set folks, people believe is that if you speak up on it, then it will happen. No, you need to warn your child if somebody is touching you inappropriately. You scream, you holler, you yell, you go tell somebody.
Exactly.
Ain't that just what I told you, Amara? Go tell somebody.
I don't care if it's, hey, this person is touching me. It don't matter if you know them or not. You need to draw attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember growing up watching different shows that, you know, and even then, Different Strokes talked about it. Facts of Life talked about it. These were shows that I grew up on. Silver Spoons. And it was a hidden agenda, right? And it wasn't until I got older when I saw those episodes. The Jeffersons, they dealt with rape. All in the Family, they dealt with rape. It was, and even then, they took it from All in the Family to Different Strokes to even dealing with racism on Family Matters and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Granted, they do a comical approach to it, but it still makes you think this could happen to you. This could happen to your child. And we need to get back to where we used to be back in the day, where I remember I used to be puppet shows, where the puppet, you know, talked about it and whatever the case may be. But we need to get back to where we start teaching our children, whether it's our nieces, our nephews, kids on the street, hey, that's not cool.
Exactly. That way they can watch out for themselves. And you know what I'm saying? It's just like Myra has her two sons.
Right.
They need to know right now. She has an 8-year-old. The 8-year-old needs to know exactly what's going on in case something goes wrong. He could be outside with his brother, playing with his brother, and somebody might walk up. It could be somebody throwing a newspaper, and somebody walk up and say, "Here, I have some candy for you, for both of you two boys." You know what I'm saying?
And
so now, touch.
Back in the day, it happened here in Colleen. Right, where it was, matter of fact, it happened at Marble Elementary, and the little girl was kidnapped. And
the Nadia Thompson.
Yes, the Nadia. And the sad part about all of that was I was not there at the school to protect my niece and my cousins who were there. And till this day, that still haunts me.
Oh, wow.
For the simple fact that because my brother raised my niece not to talk to strangers. My cousins raised their children not to talk to strangers.
Are you talking about pop your fingers?
No, not
to talk about,
to strangers.
Oh, not to talk to strangers. I thought you said fingers.
Yes, not to talk to
not
strangers.
To
talk
to you
and
cannot
so what
talk
happened
to a
was,
stranger. Okay.
Yes. What happened was the man approached my niece first, right? And my niece ran away. And she said she went and she tried to tell the teacher on the teacher on the playground, because it was early morning. She told her, "Adults are talking, go play." So she did what she was told. Well, it didn't affect my niece as bad, but it did affect her because she had nightmares later. I had two cousins who knew the little girl personally. They was in the same classroom with little girl. And the first man approached one of my cousins, and then she ran away. And she sat up there because he told her that he lost his puppy, and my cousin being a smart mouth, she said, "Well, I don't see no puppy around here." He goes, "Well, if you come help me look for a puppy, you go look for my puppy, I'll give you some candy." And my cousin just ran away, right? Because her daddy and her mama and her grandparents told her, those are the tricks that they tell you. And my cousin, you know, she's gotten better now. Every now and then when they bring up the anniversary of her death, it kind of messes with her.
Mm-hmm.
Not only were they in the same classroom with each other, mm-hmm. but they lived right across the street from each other. And that particular day, she spent the night at her grandma's house. And what happened was she was supposed to have walked to school that day with Denadia.
Wow.
With her and her brother. Mm-hmm. And she kept on saying, that could have been me. That could have been me. Why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I was there? Why this? And mind you, she's a little girl at the time. And she's beating herself up because she was not there to protect her friend.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then again, of course, the school didn't try to cover it up, say that the little girl wasn't there. Right? And any other day, she would have walked to school with her brother. You know, her and her brother would walk to school with them because they walked to school with each other every day. But that particular day, she said her grandma didn't understand why. May her grandma rest in peace. That she was very adamant that day of taking her to school. Very
May have had a gut feeling something wasn't quite right or something was
right,
going to go wrong.
Right, and she couldn't explain it. You know, mm-hmm. it was that they got up early, you know, and they were supposed to go to school for breakfast. And grandma, like, insisted, I think, on taking a McDonald's for breakfast or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the grandma took it kind of hard because she saw the babies, you know, walking to school that day. And grandma was like, if I would have just made them get in the car. If I would have just made them get in the car. Because she mm-hmm. asked them, did they want to ride? They were like, no, ma'am, thank you, we're good. You know. And she was, you know, she said, if I would just told them, you know, if she would have just told them they were going to McDonald's for breakfast, if she would have said that, right? But no, they didn't. And so my cousin had a hard time, and her grandma had a hard time dealing with that, of the work. You know, and the school covered it up. The school said that the little girl didn't make it home. The little girl didn't make it to school that day. Right. However, she checked in for breakfast.
Wait a minute now. You're saying that the school covered up and said she did not make it to school that day?
Sure did. They said that
But she had breakfast at school that day too?
She had breakfast at think of it is this is how it happened and this is what a lot of people do not know. She made it to the playground. She went to school. She had her breakfast. And her brother both had their breakfast. She comes outside, not one, not two, but three of my cousins, ladies, seen her. And they played with her. And they seen her go to the fence.
Go to the what?
They seen the little girl walk towards the fence where the man was.
Oh, Lord.
Picked her up and put her on his shoulders and walked away.
Did she
now,
not
the
children, know the man? What do you think? Let's
no,
stop
no, no.
There
they
for
said that
you
she,
think she,
that
knew,
she
him?
Knew him.
Huh?
She has had to, they said she has had to know him. Because at the point in time, the description that they gave of the man at the time was the woman's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is what everybody don't know. This is what the news ain't telling nobody. I got this firsthand. I got this from the horse's mouth. Right? Picked her up, threw her on his shoulders, held her by her legs and her arms, and walked off with her like giving her a piggyback ride.
Mm-hmm.
The children on the playground went and told the teachers on the playground that Gennady is leaving school with the man. And the teachers was more engrossed with her conversation and paying attention to the babies on the playground. That man came on school property and took, and then when the girl wasn't there and when she didn't check in for school that day, right, they called the house and told the mama that she was after. She said, bullshit. Because I made sure I sent them on the way to, before I went to work this morning. So I know they walked out the house. So they told the boy that the sister wasn't, that she didn't come to school today. The little boy said, yes, my sister did, because I held her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened was, I guess they had a small little tiff on the way to school, right? So he kind of let go of her hand, right? He goes home thinking she's home, and the little boy had, because my cousin told me that she knew him, and the mama had to get the boy help. Because he kept on saying, if I didn't let go of her hand.
How old was she anyway?
Five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit older than that. But she was still in early elementary age.
Because mm-hmm. I
yeah.
remember that story. I got to ask the question, Tina. They had a lot of misgivings about that.
They put
out that the mother was on drugs, the mother and father had gotten a divorce, the mother owed money to drug dealers. I mean, it was a big mess about that.
This is the thing, because my cousin knew the lady, because they live right across the street from her mama. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They said that she owed drug lords money. But yet she was a heavy set woman. They said that it wasn't just her who owed money, it was her ex husband who owed money.
Mm-hmm.
Then she had a slew of men in and out of her house that she was, you know, pretty much, it was a bunch of the old cliche, what they say about black women.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the system, you're living off the system. However, that was a hard-working woman, after it happened, she was getting calls, like, wherever. And when they found the little girl's body, it's sad to say that she didn't even live past that day. He did what he wanted to her.
Now, Tina, did they find her body demolished all over the place? You know, in other words, I was working
they
at the
found
time, and they were talking as if parts of her body was, they found it in different areas. Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
they
true.
They found her decapitated. Mm-hmm. They felt her head and by the land past the river. Her torso was somewhere in Florence.
Now, what about the burning of the body? Was that part true too?
Yeah.
That they found her that
they
she
did.
Was burned up? I mean, burnt.
She was burnt. They said the only thing, and it's the sad part, the only thing that could identify her was her dental record.
Was her what?
Her dental record.
Oh, her dental. Okay.
They said that baby suffered. She was beaten, raped, burned, and all this was done alive. She felt everything. And thing of it is, no one knows who did it. Of course, my cousins and my brother wanted to protect the children, right, and not get them involved.
Mm-hmm.
However, they say sometimes children know best when it comes to certain objects. Because the teachers had a different description of the man. However, my cousins and my niece description of the man, down to the jacket that he had on, because it was around springtime when it happened, or going in spring. was downright accurate. However, my brother and my cousins, they decided that they have been through enough and that they wasn't going to allow them to be questioned anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the kids would have a nightmare, but then after that, the school district tried to cover it up.
Parents got scared. Parents are taking kids out of the school. All this other type of stuff. And yet, instead of them trying to cover it up, right, just get rid of the teachers, because the teachers are toast. I'm sorry. Mm. But if Myra's kids come up and tell me, Auntie Athea, there's a man on the playground, and he's coming up there, and he's playing with us, and I told my teacher, and my teacher just, okay, fine, you know what? I'm going to go to a high authority. First, I'm going to the city council. Okay. Yeah. And then I'm going to go to KISA building. I'm going, yo, something needs to be done, because they said they're telling teachers, and teachers ain't doing nothing. Okay, she needs to go. And you need to put somebody there who's going to pay attention. If your conversation, that's not going for it.
Yeah.
So what they did, Tina, was they let the teacher covered up a lot of stuff because they didn't want a scandal.
It wasn't just the teachers. It was the school. It was the principal. You know, and then they tried to say that the children, that the kids who came up, I'm not saying this because my niece and my two cousins. I'm not saying that. From what they told me, it was other children. Right? Other children were telling her to come back, come back, come back. You don't know him. Come back, come back, come back.
Right?
There was no van. There was no car. There was no van down the street. No, he.
And that's
walked,
another
he was bold
thing. That's
enough.
Another rumor they had out too, that it was a van down the road parked.
It was a white van, and of course everybody knows the traditional, you know, Chester Molester van. No, it was no van. It was no van involved. It was no car involved. He walked up on the school grounds. He knew exactly what he was doing. If it wasn't going to be Donati, it was going to be somebody else's child.
But
fact that he walked up on
something you
there,
said in the conversation in the beginning. I say she knew him to do a piggyback.
They said that she had to have known him for the simple fact that she went off with him. And I'm like, you got to understand something. The little girl is 5 years old. If she's 5 and 6 between kindergarten and first grade, and you tell me that I have a puppy and my puppy is lost and I'm so sad because I can't find my puppy, can you help me find my puppy? Now think about it. We're talking to a 5 and a 6-year-old child, not just a child, but a little girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, two, what little girl does not like puppies? And especially they said that, from what my niece and my cousin told me, he said it is a cute little puppy, and she's fluffy, and she got curly little ears. And I'm so sad without my puppy. And if you help me find my puppy, I'll give you some candy, and I'll take you home. And maybe, just maybe, because I have another puppy at home, that maybe your mommy and your daddy will allow you to have a puppy. Would you like to have a puppy?
Yeah.
And that keeps iterating the word puppy.
But you know what, Tina? I have to say this. My niece is 11 years old, and she don't like nobody's dog. She ain't never liked a puppy. She's scared of dogs.
Right.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because I told her, I said, you know what? I'm glad you're scared of dogs, because somebody could lure you off with a puppy. But I wanted to share something with you guys about something that happened back, this is way back before I came to Texas, okay, in my little hometown.
What?
What happened was this kid loved to play baseball for children.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, liked to play baseball. And my mother used to say all the time, it's not always that a person will lure your child off with an animal, a cat, or a dog, or candy. She said, there's other little things, a toy. This man lured this little boy off with a baseball and the glove. I said, come go with me and I'll give you this. So the child followed him. He raped the child. He beat the child. He poured gasoline on the child and burnt the child up.
Oh,
and
wow.
My mother used to say that all the time. It's other things that people will lure a child off with.
Listen,
so she used to say, try to remember, try to teach as much as you. Huh?
They say that now because, see, back in when me and Myra was growing up, it was ice cream, a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I was a puppy. It never really was a cat. It was always a puppy. I don't know why it had to be a puppy, but every now and then you may hear it be a kitten. Or I'm lost. Can you please help me? Or whatever the case may be. But I know with me and Myra, when we were growing up, it was a puppy or a kitten, if it was a kitten, and an ice cream.
Now, some candy.
Or candy. Or I'm lost and I can't find my way. Or they would get another kid to go in the middle of the street or go by your house and fall down, right, and pretend to hurt themselves. And the kid will be like, well, can I come in your house and can I call my mommy, right, whatever the case may be. Now, and this is the sad part, is in a way it's helpful, in a way it's not helpful. You have Law and Order Special Victims Unit. You have all these forensic files and these law shows. And in a lot of ways, it helps because, of course, you know, if you're an adult and you're watching Law and Order with a kid in the room, of course the kid is going to watch, plain and simple. It's going to educate them. But at the same time, it's getting the pedophiles out there more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a catch-22, you know. I don't know if y'all remember the movie, but it was actually based on a true story. And it's called I Know My Name is Steven. And these men stopped this boy. They knew that he loved to go and play after school when he was supposed to go home. They knew his routine. They knew where he would go first. They knew everything about him. And then they kidnapped him. And they kept him. Now, mind you, he was about the age of maybe 7 or 8. And so now, because they then brainwashed him so much, they dyed his hair, they gave him a new name, they did all this other type of stuff to him, to the point where they had him to start kidnapping little boys. And so finally one day, he was able to find a way to get away. However, the youngest boy that they had with him wasn't there as long. So he remembered his name. He remembered where he was from. He remembered his house, his street, everything. And the older guy took him home. And the older boy, he kept when he finally, you know, they, you know, because he had the little boy in question, and he kept on telling him, all I know is my name is Steven. That's all I can tell you. And he went through so much, right? Of course, his parents, every year his parents bought him Christmas presents and birthday presents, you know, and the other siblings felt like, okay, my mama built a shrine to him because they didn't take down the Christmas tree the year that he was kidnapped. They left it up until he came home. All his Christmas presents, you know, they had his birthday presents, and they put all his presents up underneath the tree from the age of 10 years of age. They either made about 9 or 10 years of age, up until the age of about 16, 17, when he came home.
Uh-huh.
And these were years. I mean, between the age of 10 to the age of 16, 17. You know, and then he went to school and he was bullied. You know, he was called every name in the book but a child of God. Right? And his parents was, like, trying to raise him and try to be that parent for him and trying to give him discipline. And he's like, you don't even know what the hell I've been through. So how are you going to sit up there and say you know me? Because I don't know me anymore. Because I allowed them to do things to me. I allowed them to do stuff to other children. And all he kept on saying is, all I know is my name is Steven. And it's based on a true story. And it's sad when you hear stories about this, when you hear stories about the Nadia, because there is no resolve in any of this, because the man is still walking free to this day. And it's sad because you have people who want children, who will give children a wonderful home. And you have the story of the woman of Lisa Smith, where she drowned her babies for the love of a man because he didn't want children. Now,
Didn't she thought maybe if she'd do that, he would marry her and love her and all this if she didn't have any family? What her excuse was? And she said a black man did it?
Now,
that's the same woman?
That's the same one, Lisa Smith. Now, get this. If you take away the man pigmentation and you give, if you smaller his nose out, you have her husband. She described her husband to the T. Only difference is he was black. She said it was a black man who did it. Now, when it first hit the air, I said she didn't. I go, ain't no black man did it. She did it. And they was like, and so now y'all know my family situation. Oh, why are you defending her? Why are you defending that man? I said no. I said I'm sorry, but you gonna sit up there and tell me you gonna have a black man gonna sit up in there and carjack some white woman in the middle of the South? Take her car, kidnap her babies, when he don't even want to raise his own children. What makes you think he's going to sit up there and raise somebody else's? Now, you in the deep South, where they don't look too kindly on us, where they still got signs saying, you know, don't let the sun hit you on the way home.
Wow.
Woman's by me again. You going to sit up there and hide? You going to sit up there and carjack a white woman in broad daylight at a store with two screaming babies who happen to be white?
Wow.
And everybody started thinking about it. They're like, damn, that does make sense. But check this out. Now, Myra, Lord forbid if anything does happen to your baby, you would be emotional wreck, wouldn't you?
Heck yeah.
Yes, ma'am, I should be.
You won't be able to sit up there and talk nothing, not hear nothing, you know, not hold an interview, not carry a conversation, not ask what camera look into. You'll be too distraught, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Along with your ex-husband. Now, granted, him being a man, he's going to have to sit up in there and somewhat pull things together, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be emotional, and you're going to tell he's emotional. This girl was a rock. Please bring them home. Please. I don't care what you did. I don't just bring my children home. Please. I miss them ever so much. Okay? And then the husband, people have to sit up there and have to hold him up, because he's like, please, bring my... He can't even say bring them home. He kept on saying, please, please, please. It's the little things that I pay attention to.
Yep.
She was too much of a rock, had no type of emotion. And then the family wanted to do a perfect service announcement. We don't know where she got this from. We are not racist at all.
Well, I had another thing. It has to do with when is a good time for a teenager to start dating?
Ooh, that was a good question, too.
I remember we started out with that a little bit.
I was going to tell you before we go on about the Nadia situation here. Mm. Before we go on to that, the dating part. You know, right now, you know, since, you know, I have a child in school, you know, currently in, you know, in school right now, you know, they have, like, security, you know, they getting strict. You know, uh-huh. It's like everything is like locked down from, and even they got, you know, cameras up to, you know, every building in the block and everything, and you know, the only thing you gotta get is through the office and you know, and get to the IDs, and I mean, it is crazy.
Now, Mara, I got a question. Do they have at school now that before you can go pick your child up from the school, you got to ring a bell, show ID, let them know who you are before you can get in?
Yeah, there's some schools are like that. And I mean, there's some schools now that you go to the front office and you say, hey, I'm going to go pick up, little Joe. And you're like, what teacher, you know? And be like, well, Miss Jones, you know, and the fact that, you know, when you know, like, when you have to go, you know, pick them up from going to their classroom, you have to give them their ID. You know, it's like a trade. You know, give you the sticker, you hold your ID. You know, you can't come out.
Right now, I've been in a school that is right next to, I guess, the North Campus of TTC, and I had to go pick up a former friend's child. Right now, that school, I kid y'all not, and I thought that was the best thing in the world. Matter of fact, Aunt Marilyn probably remembers, because we were talking to her that day when we got the phone call to come pick up his little bad child.
Uh-huh.
And we went, and I was going to go to the bathroom before we left, but we kept on getting blown up. They was blowing him up, they was blowing me up, so we had to hurry up and we had to go. We had to go quick. Now I get there, we go into the school, and there was a monitor there stopping me before I went. I said, I just need to go to the bathroom. I really, really need to go to the bathroom. So they really had to have me go in the office, show them my ID, get a piece of paper just so I could sit up there and go to the doggone bathroom that was less than five steps away. However, I do understand where they're coming from. So therefore, you know, it's I understand. My church, we do this, and Meyer can tell you, because I showed her to the back where the kids are. You check in your child, and, you know, you sign in old-fashioned way. You put your darn head down on a piece of paper. You sign electronically. They give you a piece of paper saying, you know, the child's little code number. You give them your child. The child gets a little armband, and you go on the church and you do your thing. Now, Myra, if Myra goes in and she's checking her little ones, I cannot go, nor can Aunt Marilyn go, and say, hey, I'm here to pick up what I want and go little. They're going to look at you. I'm sorry, you got the piece of paper. Even if you had a piece of paper, they would not give you the child. Why? Because you was not the one who signed in the child.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I remember this one lady. I don't know exactly what was her situation, but I kind of put two and two together, and once I tell y'all what's going on, y'all would understand too. The lady came in, and she had a toddler. And the toddler went to daycare. And when I said mention children's church, the kid wanted to go to children's church. And my mom was very leery. She's like, I don't know. Can anybody come in there? Like, nobody can come in there and get them, right? And I'm like, no. So nobody could sit up there and say, you know, the family members or this. And so I saw the fear in her eyes. And not only that, but I also felt it. I said, sweetheart, if you sign them in, and as long as you have that piece of paper, nobody cannot come get your child. Even if your child runs up to the door and sees you and says, mommy, 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 they will not let that child go until your paper is in their hand, and then they will tell the child, little Johnny, please come to the door. Your mommy is here to come get you. And she felt better knowing that we had that type of security, even at a church. And I think more schools need to do this.
Mm-hmm. I think they should do it at a Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
At the church for Sunday school. There are some things that happened at a Sunday school one time, too. They thought everything was hunky-dory, and it wasn't. Parents was in there serving the Lord, and some other things was happening at the Sunday school. But I still want to get back to what's the appropriate age for a teenager to date? What,
yeah.
I would like to have you guys' input on that.
I'll say 12, but...
Oh, no, because you're still trying to find yourself a 12.
I don't think 12 would be a good age.
I'm just being real, because I know at 12, I'm still playing with dolls. So, you know, at 12, I also thought boys were gross and icky. But, you know, that was just me. You know what I'm saying? You give me a doll and some cartoons, I'm good to go. I won't be my little dog on a little ratchet boy at 12.
So, what, Tina, what appropriate age do you think would be good for a teenager to have a date, go on a date?
Yeah, about that.
I would say maybe between the ages of 15, maybe 16. Of course, chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Hold up.
I agree.
Ron, what's a good age for a teenager to start going on dates?
He a man, so of course
did y'all hear what he said?
Yeah, he said
he's
no.
21.
21.
He said when you get out of high, when you get out of high school. When you graduate
Ooh,
from high
Jesus.
School.
I mean,
that's
well,
a,
you know,
that's
if you
a,
think
that's
about
pretty
it.
Good if you gotta wait till you get out of high school. Graduate from high school.
But you know, think about it, there's a catch-22 to that. Because
mm-hmm.
thing of it is if the and it goes back with my me and my personal experience, my parents were so strict with me. They didn't allow me to do anything at all. I wasn't allowed to do nothing. And then, sadly to say, after my father passed, I just went crazy.
Oh, boy. Did you really?
I went crazy and think of, and I know it was nothing but the hand of my creator watching out for me because of the stuff.
Now, when you said
I
you went
did.
Crazy, was you just doing everything or...
I
doing what
just,
you wanted to do, staying out late. What was you doing?
I didn't care anymore because I lost my best friend. I lost my hero. I lost the one person that no matter what I did, no matter what I said, at the end of the day, I still had his love.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where we bumped heads because we're both Libras. So therefore, and we're less than a week apart, you know. So I'm October 11th, and he's October 18th. So we're less than a week in partner. We're both headstrong, and we're both Libras. So we bumped heads a lot when it came to certain issues. And he didn't have a problem telling me I messed up. He wasn't happy. He wasn't pleased, but he still loved me. I never heard that from my mother. It always was, I messed up. How I messed up, how often I messed up, when I messed up. And it could have been 2 years later, and I'm still hearing about what I did 4 years ago from my mother. And my dad always took my word. It was never he say, she say when it came to me. It's he heard them, okay, no, let me hear your side. Your side sounds more like you than what they're saying you did or said or whatever the case may be. So, therefore, I had a death wish. I wanted to die.
Yeah.
I did. I will meet people online just so I can go out. Didn't care where I went. Didn't care what we did, how often we did it, twice on Sunday. Didn't care because I wanted that pain to stop. I wanted to stop hurting. So, therefore, if it meant me going out with somebody who I didn't even know, right, and if I didn't come back home, I didn't care because guess what? I'm not hurting anymore.
Tina, I have a question. How did you overcome that pain? That of, like, I don't care. Some kind of way you had to get your power back. What did you do?
Basically, it was a friend of a friend. I was hurting so much. And this is when I started to realize there was jealousy, more jealousy around me than I wanted to mention, that I care to speak of. And I remember one day we were all hanging out, and I skipped my classes from CTC, and I asked him, I said, how much do I got to pay for you to fucking kill me?
Oh, wow.
I said, I will pay you to literally beat me to death. And he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't want to be here. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. I said, either you do it or I find somebody to do it.
And were you serious about it, Tina? Were you really serious at that time,
I was dead serious. I was constantly, it was the back with the he say, she say nonsense with my mother. I remember getting punched in the face by my mother the night before because somebody said I said something that I didn't do. My mother almost literally broke my jaw, busted my nose open, and I just couldn't take it anymore. My brother, which is her son, was her pride and joy. He could do no wrong. His kids could do no wrong. And if somebody said that I did it and I said it, it had to be gospel because why it was me. And I just got tired.
How old
I got tired of, I was maybe, I was still early 20s. I was still early, like 23, 24 or something like that. Maybe a little bit older. Maybe, take that back. I was about 26. And I begged him. I literally begged him. I said, I don't care. You can do whatever the hell you want with me. I don't care. If I got money, I have $100 in my pocket right now. And if you say you do, I'll add to my account, and I'll give you everything. And he looked at me. He goes, and it was him and his cousin. And he was like, if I'm going to lay hands on you, I'll hold you, not hit you. He goes, I'm not going to hit you. I am not going to kill you. I'm like, fine, then I'll find somebody else. I said, if you think I won't, I said, but before this month is over, I will be dead. I said, if it's not by your hand, it'll be by my own. And he was like, what would your daddy say? I'm like, you leave my daddy out of this. He said, T, what would your daddy? I go, dude, if you mention my dad one more time, I promise you I'm going to lose it. He was like, your daddy will want you to live.
So he was trying to help you as much as he possibly can for as much as you would let him, right?
And I think the thing of it is, I didn't know him. I barely knew him.
Wow.
And my so-called friend was like, she goes, how much are you willing to pay? I'm like, how much it takes? She was like, I do for 50. And he looked at me and he said, you think you're worth is only $50. He goes, you think that's all you're worth is $50. I said, fine. I said, I got $500 in my account right now, so I can give it to you right now. He's like, baby, I don't want your money. He goes, if I got to stay and watch you for the rest of your life, then I'll do it.
Wow. So, Tina, to when I was asking you, did you, how long it took you to overcome? There's a lot of obstacles there. How long it took you to overcome all that?
Yeah.
In all honesty, it took me 2 years.
Huh?
It took me 2 years.
Wow.
That's
a long time.
The thing of it is, with everybody who knew me, they thought everything was fine. They thought everything was hunky-dory. They literally, the thing of it is, they did not know I was suffering. I would get up in the middle of the night and go sit in my dad's favorite spot on the couch and cry.
Oh, wow. Did you ever feel that his spirit come to see about you?
What?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? I didn't hear you.
I said, did you ever felt his spirit coming to see about you? Because of the pain, you know?
And now the thing of it is, I wouldn't, after my father passed, I I would never sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't sleep at night. I would sleep during the day. And I would sit in his spot at night in the dark. Just sit there. Just sit there. I have begged for death. I have pleaded with death to come get me. If I can do my dad.
Uh-huh.
I remember calling a friend, and it was cold. It was colder than cold that night. And I said, come get me. Come get me now. She was like, why? I said, because today is the day that I die.
So deep down, Tina, I have a question, though. So on the outside, the inside, the spiritual man, the physical man, it just wanted to leave the earth plane. That's how you felt?
Yeah.
Because the pain
was
so much for you?
So the simple fact is I blame myself for my dad's death.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't have to go to work, if I didn't have to go get something to eat, to take to work because it was New Year's Eve, if only, it was always the what if.
Mm-hmm.
I found my dad. I don't tell too many people that I found my dad. I was the one who zipped my dad up in his body bag. It was me.
Mm-hmm.
I kissed my father goodbye. My father kissed me goodbye before he passed, and when he passed, when he went home, I kissed him goodbye.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, I had that pain, and I heard family members, well, if they was here, if it wasn't for Tina, if she wasn't being selfish, then this.
They blamed you?
I had certain people in my family.
Oh, okay, certain family. So, you know,
wow.
At the time, when it's time to die, there is nothing anyone can do. When your number comes up. And I mean, a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in a lot of things and we don't understand sometimes. But when God says you got to go, you got to go. I mean, it hurts.
I mean, deep down, I knew my daddy was sick. I knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But that was my daddy. That was my hero. You know, my daddy was like Superman, Batman, Incredible Hulk, and all these superheroes. And superheroes don't get hurt.
When my father
yeah.
died, Tina, listen, let me tell you a story. This is a true story. My father told me when he was going to die, what time he was going to die, and that he wanted me to come back to Texas. That was the most painful thing for me because I wanted to be there with him. My dad died with cancer, but
yeah.
it was where that he had broke out with these huge, big balls on his body, and he would need blood every week. And I'd fly home. I'd leave Texas on Friday. I'd be back here on Monday to go to work. I was, and Daddy kept saying, I want you to stay at home. You take care of your husband. Take care of your animals. You need to go home. So one weekend I flew home, and he was at the hospital, and he says, hey, next Saturday, it was June the 15th, it was Father's Day. He said, at 7 a.m. in the morning, I'm going to go be with God. I said, Daddy, you're not going to leave me. He said, yes, I am.
He said, how I was with my dad.
He told me what time he was going to die. He told me he was going to be in a hospital. He didn't want me there to see him go to leave. He said, because I'm telling you now, he said, and early in the morning, he says, you're going to get a phone call, and I will be gone, but I'm going to talk to you before then. Well, on Friday night, me and him had the biggest conversation there was. He told me again, I'm leaving in the morning now. He said, 7 a.m. He said, Father's Day. And sure enough, he did the same thing with my mom.
You
my
know,
mother told me when she was going to die.
It's crazy because
mm-hmm.
my mom says that her father, when he passed away, he knew the day that he was, he actually knew the hour down to the millisecond. And everybody
mm-hmm.
was in the room. And he was on oxygen. And he looked at everybody in the room. He goes, take these tubes out my nose. I'm going home.
Mm.
And they was like, Daddy, you're sick. He goes, the doctor, he goes, I don't care what that doctor said. I'm going home. Take these tubes out my nose because I can't go home with these tubes in my nose now. And they said,
did they take them out?
Well, Well, he said, well, then they told him, well, they said, well, Daddy, what about the nurses? He said, well, we can wedge them up in there and make them think that it's still in there. And he called a house, and he told my grandma, because they told my grandma, you need to come up here now. You need to come up here. You need to come up here. You need to come up here. So then he tells my mom, the way she tells my mama to the fence says that, that he said, bring me my suit because I want to wear my suit when I go home. And they said that he looked at everybody in the room. He told everybody bye. And my uncle, who's a pastor, right, he looked at my aunt. And then he said, take care of my, you know, take care of my family. Well, I'm gone. I'm putting you in charge. And he was like, I want y'all to dress me in my suit because I'm going home. He's like, don't argue with me now.
Did they understand what he was saying, though?
They did not understand. They said that as soon as I got him dressed in his suit, he looked at everybody in the room. He looked, today is the day I go home. And sure enough, after they put him in his suit, my grandpa passed away. My mom also said one time that she was at church and she was at watch night services. And there was an old pastor up in the pulpit. And they said that he was talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And he said the way that he described it, he said he did everything to the T. He goes, and the last words that he said was, and when he dropped his head and locked up his shoulders, he died.
Wow.
And the pastor dropped his head and locked up his shoulders, right? And he was still gripping the pulpit. So they heard the pulpit crack and creak. So they thought he was just doing demonstration. It was not until he when he fell to the floor, that's when they knew, he wasn't joking. He wasn't doing demonstration. He actually went home.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that goes to a question. I think, because my daddy knew. My daddy knew. Matter of fact, my dad knew 2 months before he went home that he was going home.
Wow. My mother, she told us she was going to die at 9:30 on the 29th of January, and she died at 9:30 on the 29th of January. She headed down pat, and she said, and she told on Friday she called everybody and told them she loved. She called all the family up, as many as she could talk to, and she told everybody she loved them. And she told me, she says, you're the oldest in the family. Now you're going to have to take on the role of being a patriarch. And she says, and I love you, and I know that, you know, I raised you well, and you can do it. You can handle, you can take care of your brothers and sisters. Keep them in line. And I believe me, y'all believe me, it has been a very hard task. It's been very hard because, sometimes family puts you through a lot of changes.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you know, in the name of love. I had to do it like my sister, in the name of love. But, you know, they put you through a lot, and you have to sit down. Sometimes you just want to say, okay, look, leave me alone. But you're still family, and you try to hang in there with them as long as you possibly can and keep peace as much as you possibly can. Myra, what time is your show over with?
Well, right now we got 6 minutes remaining here.
Okay. I was looking at my clock.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, she hadn't said anything here.
Yeah, I'm just letting you guys talk. Say what you guys say. That's what today's topic is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have some things to tell y'all, and life is like a tree or a plant. Let's put a plant. You know, we grow and then we die. You know.
Uh-huh.
And they always said, like in The Lion King, this is a part of the circle of life.
Uh-huh.
And it's true.
Uh-huh.
It's true. That movie, The Lion King, gave me a little lesson. The circle of life means a part of life and death. We live, and then And we die, and we, you know, when we bury it to the ground, that's, you know, the grass grow, and that's part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
y'all remember that one commercial, that Sun commercial for Sun Chips, where the person goes and buys a bag of Sun Chips, you know, and they throw the bag of Sun Chips on the ground, that bag of Sun Chips grows into, it grows into a little twig. And then from a twig, it goes to a sapling. From a sapling, it goes to this big, mighty tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was something that my late pastor has said something. And it's not until now, when I'm older and I realize it. Because people wanted to know, when a person died, you say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Right,
mm-hmm.
And I never. Every funeral I've been to has always been, you know, now we return this, you know, body, whatever, ash to ashes and dust to dust, whatever the case may be. Right, right. Okay.
Yep.
When we die, basically, it's like our body is full of several different chemicals. We're full of dirt. You know, you sweat, mm-hmm. you scratch yourself, you get dirt beneath your fingers, and we're full of water. Okay. Well, if it wasn't for water, we wouldn't be able to grow. If it wasn't for the dirt, we wouldn't be able to plant. So, therefore, mm-hmm. we are walking, breathing plants. We fertilize not just ourselves, but we fertilize each other. We give nourishment, which is encouragement, to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
slowly but surely, when we die, when we go back to the earth to replenish the earth for another person to take our nourishment and go from there.
Now, I want y'all to know right now, when I die, I'm going to be cremated. And I already done told Ron, throw my ashes out in the country at a friend's out on her land by her water, and then y'all can talk about me all you want.
Yeah.
Good Lord, Pussycat. Are you serious? I'll go like, yes. But you can take the, you know, what they put my body in after they cremate me. You can take it out mm-hmm. to the Fort Hood and on I-95 and put me right beside you. If you're still alive, stick me on in and I'll be waiting for you. And if you die before I do, you just sit there and wait for me. But I'm going to take my ashes and throw them out in the country. And he goes like, Lord have mercy. I said, that's
well,
what I want.
We got 2 minutes remaining, ladies. I'm sorry.
How many?
We got 2 minutes remaining.
Oh, okay. Well, I said my piece.
Well, happy Easter to everybody.
Well,
you know.
Go ahead.
No, I'm
well,
happy
I just
Easter
like
to y'all, ladies.
Yes, yes. Happy Easter to y'all, and shout out to
happy
all my
Easter
friends
to you
out there.
Too. Many
and,
blessings.
And you know, I have to say a shout out for those two guys. I mean, they're transgender guys. I love them so much. You know, Stephen Joseph and Chris Crocker. You know, the two, you know, entertainers out there.
Yeah,
you know, I got them
I love
on Facebook. I love them so much. If they listening right now, we know much of that. A lot of love, and, you know, we got 90 seconds remaining. Oh, my God. I hate this. I hate when we have to end this, but ladies, thank you very much for coming to the show. Even though I have my little one here, I know she hears some little noise in the background. I do, you know, apologize. It's a long story.
Hey,
You know, I got no problem with them. So, we have 60 seconds remaining. Ladies, thank you very much for coming in to the show. I hope I see you ladies next time, next week. If not, I'll let you ladies know about, you know, if I could go or not. You know, it's going to be a yay or nay, so
okay.
It'll be ready on my page.
And just let me know ahead of time so I know the kind of schedule around, you know, schedule.
Oh,
I
will.
That's why I kept asking you today because I had to schedule some stuff around and all this good stuff.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for coming in and Right now we got 21 seconds remaining, so you guys have a good night and be blessed and adios.
All right, I'm blessed and so are you.
Good night.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Ladies.
Bye-bye.